I either read something or heard something this week that's not new, but it was somebody asking the question, why are all these bad things happening? Why are bad things happening in our schools? And I forgot who it was that spoke up and said that, they said, you know what, you kick God out of your schools, and you kick God out of your courthouse, and you kick God out of, and now you're wondering why bad things are happening. It's because we have asked God to leave. Well, I'm going to tell you, church, it's time the church house stands up and say, God, we invite you back in, back into the school, back in the government, back into the church. We invite you back in, Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. It's the only, guys, it's not guns. It's not guns. The guns never hurt anybody. It's the people that hold the guns. It's the evil in people's heart. Don't buy into the lie. So, amen. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. We're just going to talk about two verses today, and we're not probably going to talk long. Who knows? My intention is not to preach a long time. I just felt the Lord say that He wanted to break things off of people's lives. And so I want you to put your faith forward and begin to believe God early on in this message that God is going to deliver some folks today. Amen. So Philippians chapter 4, two verses, verses 8 and 9. Two powerful verses. He says, finally, brethren, so he's ending his book. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praiseworthy, meditate on these things. And the things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. And the peace of God will be with you. Amen. Father God, we just come today, Lord, seeking your face. Lord, these words just keep echoing in my spirit. There is none like you. You have no equal. God, the things that we desire, the things that we need, will not and cannot come from human force. It will not and cannot come from human ingenuity. God, we seek the face of God. We need a strong presence. You said in our time of need, you would be here. And God, we are the most needy people. Help deliver us, God. When our heart is overwhelmed, lead us to the rock that's higher than I. For you have been a shelter for us, God. You are a strong tower from our enemies. God, sometimes our enemies are within us and sometimes they're without us. But God, you said you're the strong tower. So today, Lord, we are running into the tower of God to seek the safety in the face of the Almighty God. God, show yourself strong. Show yourself mighty. Do what no one else can do. Deliver your people, God. Deliver us from evil. Deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hallelujah. I titled this sermon, A Penny for Your Thoughts is Way Undervalued. You know, when we first got married, Treva used to ask me this question a lot. She used to see me staring off in space, or she could just tell I was somewhere afar off. And she would come up. I had never heard that saying before. I thought my thoughts was worth a whole lot more than that. But she'd say, a penny for your thoughts. And I never had the heart to tell her I was in my nothing box and I wasn't thinking about anything, you know. Now that we've been married 38 years, I'm a whole lot better husband. I would say something like, honey, I was thinking about all the ways I love you. Yeah, that'd be a lie, but it'd be a good one, wouldn't it? You know, we just underestimate what our thoughts are worth. What's it worth to grab a man's mind? If I could capture your thoughts, I can lead you. You know, the very essence of preaching is trying to capture your thoughts and trying to put the thought of God in that mind of yours. I looked today and I watched Stephen Furtick for a little bit. I watched Jensen Franklin, a couple other preachers this morning, and I thought about the foolishness of preaching. How foolish it looks to the world that a man would get up and be passionate about something and just scream and yell and teach and move around and flay his hands. And I thought, God, that does really look foolish. In the mind of man, it may be foolish. In the mind of God, it's extremely wise. Because He is trying to replace your thoughts with His thoughts every time you hear the preaching of the Word of God. The Bible says in Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. As you think, so are you. When you look in the mirror and you begin that self-talk, you are fulfilling prophecy over yourself. You are declaring your future as you look in that mirror. Pastor Art used to say this. He says, your life will follow your most dominant thought. Your life will follow your most dominant thought. So if you look in the mirror and you think you're such a failure, you will wind up fulfilling that prophecy. Have you ever said something and then thought, I don't even know where that came from? Where in the world did that come? Have you ever done anything? Have you ever been driving down the road and somebody just does something a little wrong and all of a sudden this anger comes out of you and you wind up waving with just part of your hand? And you think, dear God, where did that come from? I can tell you where it came from. It came from your heart. Matthew chapter 12 verse 35 says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasures brings forth evil things. I wish that we could learn this lesson. Quit trying to change your actions and start trying to change your heart. Because out of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of the heart, that mouth, a friend of mine used to say, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth blunders. And that's so often the case. 2 Corinthians 2:11, Paul writes these words and he says, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we're not ignorant of his devices. You see, if you don't understand Satan, he's going to have his way with you. He cannot read your thoughts. He cannot read your mind. But this is not his first battle. He's been at this since the beginning of time. He tricked Adam and Eve in a perfect environment. The people that walked and talked with God every day, Satan deceived them. Now, if that doesn't scare you just a bit, and I know that some of us been saved a long time, you think, yeah, but that ain't me. Satan ain't deceiving me. Yeah, well, when's the last time you talked face-to-face to God? I'm going to tell you, we better understand what he's up to. Peter said Satan is a roaring lion seeking whom he is as. He's as a roaring lion. He's not a roaring lion. He's as one. He's pictured himself. The art of intimidation Satan has got very well. 2 Corinthians 10:3 through 5 says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we don't war according to the flesh." Don't you wish that we could? I wish that we could beat this anger with flesh and blood. I wish that we could whip these attitudes that come within us, the attitude of rejection. You know how some people, doesn't matter what you say to them, all they hear is rejection. Is that from God? Are you kidding? God never rejects us. But that's what you hear, and everything goes through those glasses, that paradigm, that your thought processes. "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty in God for pulling down strongholds." Strongholds are thoughts that have been in your mind for a long time, and now it's literally you're captive to it. And casting down arguments. Arguments. The old King James says, "Vain imagination." You always think that you're a failure. That's a vain imagination. You always think everybody's going to reject you. That's a vain imagination. And God says, "I have the power to break that and bring it down in your life." I love it. As I read the Lord's Prayer this week, he said, you should pray this: "As it is in heaven, let it be on earth." And every Christian that I know is waiting for heaven to experience heaven. And I don't think that's what Jesus said. I think Jesus was trying to teach us you can experience a little bit of heaven on earth if you'll pray right. My strongholds, casting down arguments, vain imagination, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Where? In your head. In your head. He has the power. The weapons are not of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty in God. Pulling down strongholds, arguments or vain imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. I'm ready to experience a little heaven on earth. Sometimes I feel like I'm living in a little piece of hell on earth. Am I alone? There are weeks that it just seems like Satan has his way. I'm telling you, for the last year I have battled and battled and battled that I knew it was demonic. He's attacked my ankle, my back, my eyes, every part of me physically, Satan has been attacking. And you say, "Well, Pastor, you're just getting old." Nonsense. I won't believe that lie. I'm not getting old. I'm just getting better. I'm like a fine wine. I'm getting better with age. Yeah, Treva tried that on me. I didn't believe it either. You know, every good coach, every coach that I know has a playbook. And it's his job to teach his players, because he's not on the field. He's directing the players from the sideline. He's calling out, "Hey, play 101. No telling what he calls them. But when he calls a name, those guys know what the play is. I come to tell you today that Satan has a playbook. You see, we think that we're so individualized that what he does to us, he doesn't do to anyone else. And I just want you to know that's not true. We just need to talk a little bit more and confess a little bit more. And we're going to find that we actually go through many of the same things from Satan's playbook. Now see, a great team, remember, they study the film of the opposing team. They get in there and they'll tell their players, so they don't only know their plays, but they're going, by the week's end, by the time they play this opposing team, they're going to know their plays. So they say, hey, when they call this play, this guy is going to shift over here and this is, watch out for that one. He's going to go for the long one. He's going to do this. And you'll see them right before the hike. That guy has called the play in the huddle. And all of a sudden, right at the hike, this guy that's way over here on this end, he shifts over and he starts over. What's he doing? He knows the play. And if it's a good team that they're following, somebody on this side is running over the same time saying, I got him. I'm covering this guy. I know the play too. Church, we ought not be ignorant concerning the playbook of Satan. He's playing the same tools on us. And everything that he plays makes us ineffective ambassadors of Christ. Because he puts this stuff on us to where we feel so humiliated. We don't feel like we have anything to offer the world because Satan has got us intimidated. So he gave me a few things. Guilt and shame. How many Christians that I know live with guilt of the past? They cannot go into their future destiny with God because they're still reliving the past of what they did. They know theologically that God has forgiven them. He's washed it away. But internally, they can't get over their sin. God has forgiven them, but you can't forgive yourself. So Satan has got so much guilt on you and so much shame of who you used to be that you're not effective today for the kingdom. I think it's time we break that. And if Satan can't get you with that, you know what he does? He gets you proudful. He fills your heart with pride because you think, well, I really have something, ain't I? I don't sin like that anymore. I never did drugs. I never abused alcohol. I never slept around. My goodness, Jesus, you're just lucky to have me, aren't you? It's the most wicked sin there is pride. You listen to your own speech. You listened for how many times you use the word I and me. And if you think that everybody is looking at you, you're full of pride. Because they really don't care that much about you. They ain't watching you. Anger. There's some people full of anger. And they even wonder, where does this come from? We are in such a stage of life where people feel entitled. We feel like we don't have to do anything, but everybody owes us. We are entitled. I get so upset when I hear these politicians saying, it's a right that everybody ought to have health care. Let me tell you something. It's a right for you to go to work. That's the right you have. That's the privilege you have. Now, I'm not trying to get political. But it does make me just a little angry. So if you believe that people owe you, you're mad when they don't deliver. Well, I didn't get what I deserve. Oh, you didn't get what you deserve, and you better be thankful for it. Because what you deserve is death. Hell in the grave. But Jesus paid the price. Hallelujah. One of the plays that Satan is using is discouragement. I want you to think just a little bit about discouragement. The dis. Satan has stolen your courage. You know, when Joshua was taking the place of Moses, he was the next in line. The Bible in Joshua chapter 1, I think he says 3 or 4 times, Joshua, be strong and of great courage. Why? Because it's not you. I'm going to work through you. It's not about you, but you've got to be strong. You've got to stand when everybody else is running. You know that it's funny to me that God sees us in a different light than we see ourselves. God sees you at your potential, not at your weakness. God spoke to a guy in the Old Testament by the name of Gideon who was hiding from the enemy. He's back there hiding so nobody sees him. And the Lord speaks to his heart. He said, oh, mighty man of valor. Even Gideon said, who are you talking to? Why? Because he didn't see that in himself. With God, all things are possible. When the Spirit of the Lord comes upon a man, he's more than human. There's a supernatural power that is within us that gives us the courage that we need to march and to stand mighty and stand strong in the Lord. Because he sees in you something you don't see. And he calls you by that. Remember all through the New Testament? Simon, a reed. Jesus looks at him and says, today your name will be Peter. Because you are a pebble. You're part of the rock. He still acted like a reed that bends with the wind, bends with society for a while. But later on, it took hold and we see the rock coming out of Peter. I just wonder, you know, the Bible says there's a new name written down in glory and it's mine. The old song. I just wonder if we could see the name that God is calling us by. What would he say about us? What is the name he's called? Almighty man of God. You look at what? I can't even talk, Lord. I'm a stutterer. Well, go tell Pharaoh. Tell him what? It ain't about you. It's about Christ in you. The hope of glory. You getting this? But Satan has a playbook. And he says, if I can discourage them, they'll never take that step of faith. They'll never step out and see the potential of Christ in me. I do not believe that God ever intended the church to stay in 4 walls. God help us. God has empowered us by the Holy Spirit to go. So we're not all going to be missionaries, but we are all missionaries. You may be a missionary to Kroger, to Walmart. God knows they need your help. To Dana, to Pella, to your neighborhood. But God has got a purpose for you. And if he can't get you with discouragement, the next step is depression. You know what depression is? We turn our thoughts inward. We begin to think about us. And the little becomes big. The little problems all of a sudden become very, very big. The little things that you should have said, get out of here. You're under my foot, Satan. He blows it up and you begin to focus. Carolyn Leaf, Dr. Carolyn Leaf, she says this. She said, we have been teaching people that there is a chemical imbalance in people's life that causes depression. And we bought it. She said, there's no scientific proof for that. But we bought it. You know why we buy it? Because it gives us an excuse. And the Bible says, don't give an excuse to the devil. Don't give him access to your life. But if I believe that my body is upset, that I'm short something, then I'm saying, okay, this is the way I've got to be. What if we said, even if there is a chemical imbalance, he can heal it? What if we get sick and tired of being sick and tired? What if we say, devil, I'm not going to be depressed any longer, because greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. My days of depression are over in Jesus' name. Start working the playbook. You know what? Satan's got a playbook, but God knows his plays. And he's got a counterplay for everything he does. Do you happen to know what that counterplay is? It's the Word of God. It's the Word of God that defeats Satan in your life each and every time. Amen. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow. And he's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. What is the Word of God? It can read your mail. It reads your thoughts. The Bible says in Revelation 12:11 that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb. Thank God that's done. I'm glad we had no part of that, so we can't mess that one up. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb, and Jesus took care of that. The second part is what gets us, and by the word of our testimony. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life, in other words, he's saying, you have a choice. You see, Satan is this killer, the stealer. He's the one that's speaking death over you, but God has spoken life over you. Now we know that, what are you going to speak? Are you going to line up with the devil and speak that death over yourself? Thank you. The devil is empowered when we agree with him. You get that? The devil gains strength when we start saying the things that he says over our life. But I got news for you. The Word of God becomes alive when you begin to quote the Word of God over your life. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. So I've come today to tell you, keep your head in the game. That's what all that's about. He says, think on these things. Keep your head in the game. Paul said to meditate on these things. It's not just a passing thought. He says, meditate on these things. The word meditate means chew the cud. Like a cow takes a bite of grass and it goes through four stomachs. He keeps regurgitating it. Isn't that a pleasant thought? I do that once in a while. That tasted better. That burrito tasted a whole lot better the first time. Mexican food. I can meditate all day long on Mexican food. Meditate on the Word of God. He ends with this. He says, the things that you have learned, the things that you have received, the things that you have heard and saw, do it! Like Nike. Just do it. Just do the Word of God. The things that are true, they're factual, they're real, they're genuine. Not just in your mind. I know that many times our thoughts are real to us, but they're really from the enemy. Who are you listening to? Sometimes when I talk to you, I will tell you that's not God's voice. You're listening to the wrong voice. Stop it. Stop listening to that nonsense. Start listening to God. You're an overcomer. Things that are noble, dignified, and worthy of respect has the dignity of holiness. We used to say stuff like this: your mind is in the gutter. You're thinking filthy thoughts. I love what Billy Graham said about adultery or about those things. He said, the first look is natural. The second look is sin. You begin to look and you begin to dwell on it. You know, here's what you're doing. You begin to meditate on it. You begin to chew the cud on the dirty things of life. And Paul came to tell you, stop that nonsense. Start meditating on God's word. Start meditating on the things that are true. What's true? You're a winner. There's nowhere in Scripture where he called us defeated. We're winners. We're victors. We're triumphant. But the church looks at you like a cow with a new gate. Who are you talking about? You calling me a winner? Don't. Those are fighting words, Pastor. Don't you call me a winner. I'm going to stay here in my misery. The things of God are noble. Think on the just and right. You know, most people think that God is not just. You don't say it, but God says, I am just. I do things the right way. I'm just. Pure. That's wholesome and clean, not mixed with moral impurity or pollution. Lovely. What promotes peace rather than conflict. Kind and gracious. And a good report or admirable. It's positive, constructive, reputable rather than negative. When you're thinking negative thoughts over your neighbor or over yourself, you're not thinking the thoughts of God. God is the most positive thing I've ever in my life heard. When you read his word, God is positive. He's positive about us. He's always got that hand out to help us. And he says that the peace, the things that you've heard and you received and you learned and you saw in me, do these, and the God of peace will be with you. I don't know about you, but that excites me. The God of peace will be with me. He says a little, we wanted to back up a few verses. He says, if you'll quit worrying about things and you'll start praying about things, he says, with thanksgiving, the peace of God that passes all understanding will touch your heart, will be with you, guide your heart, guard your heart. The one thing I failed to mention is fear and anxiety. We talked about depression. Depression usually comes out of fear. People think about fear as just being, well, you know, it's just common sense. No, you're wrong. It's not common sense for the believer. You see, the Bible, Paul looked at Timothy, a very young man, pastoring a church with very much older men in his congregation that probably knew a whole lot more than he did. And he said these words, Timothy, God's not given you a spirit of fear. What? I didn't know fear was a spirit. See, you can't take medicines to treat a spirit. You're going to fight a spirit, you're going to have to fight it in the spiritual. It's going to take God. I think that we have come so accustomed to fear that it's such a part of our life, it's almost become a friend. Well, this is just natural. Hey, that spirit of fear I'm comfortable with. Don't make me take a step out of my comfort zone, Pastor. Fear's leading me. Fear guards me. Fear protects me from doing something stupid. You see, it keeps me in my perimeters. You better bet it does. Fear paralyzes you. When God said, hey, go talk to your neighbor. Tell him I love him. Tell him I died for him. Tell him I don't have to be a drug addict all their life. Tell him there's a power greater than the power on earth. It's the power of God. You say, I can't do that. What if they say you're strange? Guess what? We are strange. Peter said we're a peculiar people. Called out of darkness. We're not supposed to be like everybody else in the block. I told you preaching was strange, right? Now, why did I do that? Now, see, I go home and I think, oh, dear God, you acted like such an idiot. I want you to know God's got a better way. We bought the lie. We bought the lie. I just came to tell you, I've read Satan's playbook. And I see him using the same tricks on you that he's used on me and that he's using on me. There is no temptation taken common to man that God will not make a way of escape. I want to do something for God. How about you? You know, I think Paris needs a church that's not just got their theology together, but it's got the demonstration of the power of God. Guilt and shame, pride, anger issues, discouragement, depression, fear and anxiety. Just can't do anything. Pastor, I'm just so scared. I just worry all the time. You really think that's God's best? The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty in God for pulling down those strongholds. Guys, if you think I gave you the whole list, no. I just gave you a few. And if you're courageous, we can ask God to break that stuff off of your life today. And I believe God will. Treva, if you'll come forward. Here's what I'm asking. If you're not absolutely 100% sure that you're a child of God, we need to get that right. You need to make sure that you know that Jesus Christ is in your heart, that your sin is forgiven, that you're on your way to heaven. This has not been a salvation message. It's been a message of victory, of overcoming by keeping our thoughts right, meditating on the positive things of God and not on the negative things of the devil. I know some of you are thinking, it can't be that simple. Yeah, it really can. It really can. And it really is. Keep your head right. Keep your life right. Keep going for God. Would you stand with me? If there are things in your life that maybe somewhere through this, I maybe didn't even mention them, But the Spirit of God spoke to your heart and said, you know the thing you're dealing with? Pastor could have mentioned that. He could have called yours out. Maybe he didn't, and maybe he did. But I'm going to ask you to take a step of courage tonight, today. Step out of your seat and come and gather around this altar. And let's pray that God will break these things once and for all. And then you've got to walk it out. I believe God will break things today. If you'll come and stand up here, this is your altar before the Lord. You're tired of what Satan has had his way in your life. Hallelujah. Sing it, Treva. Pray.
Fill me with your glory, Spirit of the Lord, let me free. Fill me with your glory.
Are you up here?
Fill me with your glory, Spirit of the Lord, set me free.
Wait just a second. If you have a reoccurring sin in your life, you're being plagued by a demonic spirit, and it can be broken today. As a man thinks in his heart, if you're thinking contrary to the Word of God, do you like that perversion? Says the Spirit of the Lord. Are you comfortable with that perversion so you don't want to break it off your life because you're comfortable? You're comfortable thinking you're this way or that way. Jesus says, I'm giving you an opportunity to step forward and have that broken off your life. Because as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Right now you're thinking about it. Very soon you'll begin to act like it. It's a word of the Lord for someone. Deacons, elders, would you come behind these? Let's begin to pray. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Father God, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
There is power in the name of Jesus.
There is Father God, right now, I pray for my sisters, God. I pray that the things of the devil would be broken, the strongholds, the thoughts that's been there a long time. In the name of Jesus, I say it's broken. Broken right now in Jesus' name. They go free from their thoughts. They go free in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Father, I pray for my sister Candy. God, I say in Jesus' name, Lord, her body lines up with your word. Her mind lines up with your word. Father, I've seen great things, Lord, out of this gal. Father, you have done great and mighty things as she has stood firm on the word of God. She has stood when everybody else said, you need to give up on that. She stood firm, Lord. She saw the hand of God move in her life. And Lord, here she is again saying, God, there's some more things we need to conquer. Hallelujah.
I say in the name of Jesus, be broken off her life. Any attaching spirit is broken in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father God, I pray for my brother and sister. Lord, you know them and I do not. But Father, Lord, they've come humbly before the throne of grace. God, we're seeking your face. Lord, there's some things, Lord, maybe from their past that's been plaguing them. There's some things that's just been needling them, Father. And they say, enough is enough. In the name of Jesus, we say these things are broken today. Long thoughts, Lord. People that have called them losers, people that have rejected them. We say, enough's enough. Satan, you're under my feet. I will not be plagued by it any longer. I go free in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Deliver her. God, I pray that this mind is free today. Free, Lord Jesus. Let the light come into her head, God. You said you are light. Lord, you're the light of the world. I pray that darkness leaves in Jesus' name. Her eyes.